through devotion. I'm reading about Krishna's 64 qualities, which are part of his vibhav, his guna, which stimulates all these qualities, and when he expresses them in his various novel and creative, clever ways, it captures, it binds the hearts of his beloveds more and more. So I heard about his Pratibhandvita yesterday, and we have the advantage of at least two English translations that are available to all of us. Prabhupada's in this one, and there's maybe others, I think one or more or so, which I've heard, I haven't seen. This is 2184. It's called Vidagdha. Of course, there's Vidagdha Madhav, Vidagdhi Radha, Vidagdha Krishna. Kalavilasa Digdatma Vidagdha iti kirtyate. Rupa Goswami defines it briefly as this, or more elaborately here. Kalavilasa Digdatma. One whose mind is absorbed in the 64 arts, the Kala, Kalavilas, such as dancing and singing. We read those 64 arts from the purport of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Brahma Samhita. Brahma Samhita, there's one purport there in the BBT. I think it's Jiva Goswami's Tika or Bhakti, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, where he lists all the 64 arts with Sanskrit and English, and sleight of hand and dying claw, dying teeth, and training cocks to fight, and all these things, and all these 64 arts, the gopis know them. And it's and metallurgy, and how to identify a false gem, and how to make a false gem. One of the arts was how to take a gem, it's a pale pink sapphire from Sri Lanka, then you dye it in a certain way, soak it in some dye, it becomes dark blue, then you sell it for an African blue sapphire, and cheat everyone. So they know that art, but then they know the art of detecting bogus jewels. So if one sucky tries to sell another sucky bogus jewels, hey, wait a minute. It's very funny. So 64 arts. So the Krishna's Kalanidhi and Radharani's Kalavati, Kalavilas Digdatma, one whose mind is absorbed in the 64 arts, such as dancing and singing, and in various amusements, is called aesthetic, or it says aesthetic here, Vidagdha. And our Gurudev, he gives his translation here. Always gives, as we know, Srila Prabhupada, his name was Bhakti name of Bhaktivedanta. And it's appropriate because they are well-versed in Vedanta and they're full of bhakti to different degrees. And bhakti is the essential element which makes translations move into the heart. Translations minus bhakti, they land in the mind somewhere and stimulate our thoughts, but they don't land in the heart. The translations without the backing of bhakti, bhakti bhav, that's the best, bhav or prem, they don't really move into the heart. And we do a comparative translation or comparative study of Prabhupada's Krishna book, for example, because all the verses are there for all the Rasa Panchadaya, five chapters of Rasa Dance. You can find all the verses in Krishna book. If you minutely look at the BBT translation, they say, oh, and then you can mark it with your pen. Oh, this is 29:15 or whatever, 10th chapter. And then you'll see 29:16, and then you put brackets around that. And in between, of course, is Prabhupada's individual purport. And all the verses are there, most of them, with purports. And you see Prabhupada's translations and then his disciples. They're both, of course, very good and perfect in their own ways. But the general impression, at least my heart's impression, of course, is subjective and extremely biased. Admittedly so. Can't but be. But I find that somehow Prabhupada's translations invariably or always touch my heart. It's not sentences that make you surrender to God, it's love. And Prabhupada was the expert distributor of prema. And it's you can't but see it in his translations, and especially in a comparative way. Of course, you're hearing from an extremely biased person, so please forgive me. Prabhupada, he defines his 14th characteristic like this. Vidagdha means artistic. Here it says aesthetic. One who can talk, he said this definition, one whose mind is absorbed in the 64 arts such as dancing and singing. That sounds like he's thinking about them, but he doesn't dance and sing. I often think about singing, but I can't. I think Jay, would be nice if I could play harmonium, but I can't. So, but Prabhupada says, immediately gets right to it. I mean, it's so much like, it's heartly, I would say, it's, as this word is there, heartly translations, full of heartly blessings, which I think many of you are familiar with this term. One who can talk and dress himself very artistically is called Vidagdha. Vidagdha Madhav Sri Krishna Ki? Jai. So that's, we think of Vidagdha like that. He has a flair for dressing and moving and speaking. Vidagdha. But one whose mind is absorbed in the 64 arts of dancing. Somehow. Or it's even by intonation you can influence someone to your opinion. This exemplary characteristic was visible in the personality of Krishna. And then that, the example is, Prabhupada's going to give that translation, and here's that verse. Gitam gum fati tandavam gatatyati brute praheli kramam venam vadyat venam varayate shajam virachayat yalekyam abhyasyati Nirmati swayam indra jala patalim dyute jayat yun madhan pashyud dhama kalavilasa vasatish chitram hari kridatihi. And it simply says, the translation as it is here says, translation, look, I wish I could look and see this. Krishna is composing songs and dancing. He is making riddles, playing the flute, stringing garlands for, doesn't say, but he's stringing garlands for himself, for Balaram, for the cows. Could be true. Maybe cows and Gopastami. Stringing garlands for Radharani and drawing pictures of, must be Radharani. Krishna is making magical objects, and winning at dice against persons showing pride. Well, who could that possibly be? Who shows pride? Do you know anyone who shows pride? Have you ever heard of Manini Radha Ki? Jai. Krishna is the residence of pastime, is the residence of pastimes of unlimited arts, is now enjoying his leisure. So this is how Krishna passes his leisure time, which is 24/7, because he's Leela Purushottam. He lives in Leela Dham, and there's nothing but Leela. So now Prabhupada translates the same thing. This exemplary characteristic of Krishna's Vidagdha nature of dressing himself and talking artistically and acting that way, these are examples of his artistry. He artistically plays the flute and artistically makes riddles and strings garlands, and they're not just 25 carnations on a string, like we get in the West. There are all kinds of juhi and malati and gulab and kadamba and so many patterns. And it goes down like this, and there's a circle in the middle of different flowers, and it goes down, and then it goes like this and like that, and then it goes down. There's so many ways to make a garland. And Krishna's Vidagdha, Kala, he's expert in that. So these are how he expresses his Vidagdha nature, and he's on very few of unlimited, and playing dice, winning, not winning very often, but trying his best. So now Prabhupada says, he says, this exemplary characteristic was visible in the personality of Krishna, Sri Krishna. It says, it is spoken of, Krishna's Vidagdha nature is spoken of by Radharani as follows. This idea we don't see here, the word is, doesn't say Raduvacha or Radhika, but somehow in these, the flavor of this verse, or where the origin is, or whatever, Prabhupada knows that this verse comes from Vidagdha Madhav, or wherever it comes from, somewhere which he's familiar with, and he knows that Radharani's speaking this verse, or the intricacies of the Sanskrit, Radharani's name is there. There's so many ways to find the speaker of a verse. And when you're well-versed in the Sanskrit, and your heart is swelling with bhava, and particularly oriented towards a certain Ishtadev, then you'll find your Ishtadev in every verse, or every syllable. So this is why Prabhupada gives us this lead-in, this devotional entrance to the nuances and secrets, the Vidagdha nature of the verses. This is his This is his Bhaktivedanta touch, which is touching, so much touching to myself and hopefully all of you. And it's spoken of by Radharani as follows. O Sakhi, English says, my dear friend, which means O Sakhi. Just see how Krishna has nicely composed songs and how he dances and speaks funny words and plays on his flute, wearing such nice garlands. So Radharani doesn't want to think, he's making garlands for me. He's wearing nice garlands, which I made for him. Krishna has dressed himself in such an enchanting way, as though he had defeated all kinds of players at chessboard. He lives wonderfully at the topmost height of artistic craftsmanship. This is called a Bhav Anuvad. This is a Bhav translation. So, and see the whole different angle of you. We don't want to have so much time, which we do sometimes. See the angle of understanding and presentation of one translator. And Prabhupada takes it from that this becomes, rather than this is a quality, this is an analogy. What one translator defines as a quality or guna of Krishna's Vidagdha nature, election of Vidagdha characteristics, then Prabhupada takes and turns around and says, this is an example of how Krishna proves his Vidagdha. It becomes an analogy rather than a specific vishesh. It's very interesting. And what can we do but worship both of them and try to glean something from both of them? And it's a rich blend of tattva and realization and truth and essence, which is so valuable, these comparative translations. So this is how Prabhupada describes it. And then if you go back and we don't, by reading this book, we don't know who spoke the verse. We can assume by our own viewpoint or understanding and understanding what these leelas are and who that are these talents and expertise is that, but it could be taken also towards the coward boys. It could be taken mostly towards like that, coward boys. But it's probably without any, very definitively probably saying, it is spoken of by Radharani. It means Krishna's artistic quality or Vidagdha nature. And who can better describe Krishna than Radha? She, her descriptions of Krishna are so beautifully portrayed in Govinda Leelamrita. She speaks through her own parrots. The parrots are her voice. When the Shukshari Samvad and Madhyan Leela, when Radha and Krishna Yugal lying in Kunja, and then they're relaxing after Jalkeli and after some prasad, some fruits and nectar drinks, and relaxing in the Kunja, and then some of their parrots, Sukshmadi, Manjubashni, Daksha, and all these other pet parrots that they have, they land on the trees, the male and female parrots, in the Kadamba trees above the Kunj, and then, oh, hey, Shuk, hey, Shadi, hey, and then Krishna tells one, the parrot, glorify Radharani. So then the parrot glorifies Radharani, and then Krishna, through the parrot, the parrot speaking, Sri Shuku Vacha, Sri Toto Vacha, parrot speaking in the trees, and actually announcing and pronouncing the wonderful glories of Radhagun, Radharani's qualities, her rupam, her beautiful form. And then Radharani says, Acha, what is all this? Ah, I don't want to hear about this. Hey, Shadi, hey, Shuk, glorify my Sham. So then, oh, so many beautiful things that the parrots speak. And that's Radharani speaking through their mouth. Just like if I have a microphone here and I take a wire to the amplifier and I run it all the way over there somewhere, 200 yards away, and no one can hear me, and I'm speaking, so 200 yards away, so my voice is being carried by that wire to that 200 yards away and being amplified and heard over there. So Radharani just transferred her heart and words to the parrot, came out. Who was the parrot? It was Radharani, and Radharani and Krishna were glorifying each other. That's Radha and Krishna passed their time glorifying each other. And Gauranga Mahaprabhu, all of his followers used to spend their time glorifying him and glorifying Krishna. Nam Kirtan, Leela Kirtan, Guna Kirtan. And Gauranga spends his time glorifying his devotees. Krishna's coverage says that Gauranga so much excited and enthusiastic and happy to glorify his devotees that it seems when Mahaprabhu is speaking to glorify his followers and his intimate followers and devotees, it seems that Lord Chaitanya is speaking with five mouths, Panchamukh Gauranga. We have Panchamukh Hanuman, Panchamukh Shiv, Panchamukh Gauranga. So many mouths to glorify the devotees. And we can't even glorify out of the corner of our mouth. We can't even say anything out of the corner of our mouth. Yeah, he's a good devotee. He's like five mouths. Panchamukh. Vaishnava Mahima. So this from way above in the spiritual world, in the kunjas of Radhakund, this principle is being enacted directly. The greatest devotee, Radha, is glorifying her Lord, Shyam. And the greatest and fullest expansion of Godhead, Shyam Sundar, is glorifying his devotee. So we are also aspiring devotees. So glorification of the devotees is as much Nam Kirtan as glorification of the holy name. There's one another quality of Krishna is the 15th quality, Chatura. Interesting how these go back to back. Vidagda Chatura. Chaturo Yugapad Bhuri Samadhan Krid Uchyate. Rupa Goswami Pad says that Krishna, or he has this quality, a clever person, meaning Krishna, he has this quality, Chatur, is one who brings about a solution to many problems simultaneously. Like killing Muchakunda. When Kalyavana was chasing, it just came on, that's not very rustic, I suppose. When Krishna was so-called running away from taking his morning walk, so to speak. You know, Prabhupada, many gurus and acharyas, they do their morning walk, etc. But Krishna was taking his morning stroll from some mountain over there in Mathura and going along the way. And Jarasandha, I believe, was attacking from the north. And Kalyavana was attacking Mathura from the south. Well, Krishna thought, this is not much, very important work here. So he went for his walk. And Kalyavana went chasing him, after him. And Krishna's just walking, not even jogging, he's just walking. As he always walks, like a drunken elephant, just staggering. Oh, this is my brush, and hello birds, and hello deer. It's like, how's the trees? Relaxed, not going somewhere, but not really going anywhere. Walking with some intention, but no real intention. Walking with some purpose, but no real purpose. Just, it's Leela. Just strolling. This guy's huffing and puffing and running by. Hey, you coward, you chicken, you this, that, whatever, you know. And he's chasing after him. And then Krishna says, this guy is making so much noise. You know, this can't enjoy my friends here. So everyone knows if you go in a cave, it's very quiet. So Krishna's thinking, if I go, oh, there's a cave in this mountain. If I go in this cave, I'll get away from this noisy guy. So he goes in the cave and oh, it's nice, shant. Then the Kalyavana chases him in the cave. And then Krishna sees him. Krishna stands cleverly behind some rock. And meanwhile, in that same cave, there was Muchakunda, a great Vaishnava, who fought on behalf of the demigods, and he got the boon to sleep for a while. So after Karti, you can beg your Gurudev. Gurudev, oh, we work so hard in Niyam Seva. Can we have a boon to sleep for a little while? So he was sleeping there for a few yugas or something. I don't know. And the benediction was that he said, look, I want to sleep, and I don't want my wife to wake me up, or my kids, or anybody to wake me up. Let me sleep peacefully. If anyone does, let me burn them to ashes. So Devas were pleased with his help, they said, certainly. And so he woke up, and Kalyavana came and said, oh, you coward, you're not only running away, hiding in this cave, now you're just so relaxed, you're going to sleep. What kind of kshatriya are you? Sleeping in the face of a challenge. I challenge you. Okay. What is this? Someone challenges you. Someone comes with a sword, I challenge you. Then you take your sword and weapon to weapon. I challenge you. I'm a little sleepy now. It's like unbelievably humorous. What is this? I've challenged you. I'm chasing after you for a fight. Now you run here and go to sleep. Which that whole thing, it just shows how Krishna is so nonchalant and chatur. I doesn't care a thing of what this jerk thinks. Or this demon thinks. So then he kicks him. You stupid. And then Mutrakunda, he opens his eyes. Psh, that was instant Shamsan. He was instantly cremated. And then and Krishna stepped out and Mutrakunda met him. And was many things were accomplished by one task. Krishna had a nice morning walk. And this guy, you know, he killed his demon. He saved Mathura. He liberated this person with his darshan. Many, many things. It was just one casual morning walk. One morning walk and so many things were done. So this is an example came in my mind about being what is called here clever, chatur. And Prabhupada defines as this 15th quality of Krishna's 64 unlimited qualities. A person who can perform various types of work at once is called clever. Then there's a supporting verse. Paravati virachanena gavam kalapam gopangana ganamapanga tarangitena mitrani chitchatara sanghara vikramena dinvanna rishtamayatena harir vireji. Translation. This is Jiva Goswami is saying this is some particular type of chandas or poetry form which was composed by cowherds. So apparently that indicates was spoken by the gopas during the time of Krishna's Leela and this particular Leela. They said, Krishna gives bliss to all the cows by composing cowherd songs. He pleases the gopis by the movements of his eyebrows, and Krishna brings joy to his friends by his heroic actions. All of these simultaneously give fear to Arishtasura. He becomes fearful because he sees how fearless Krishna is in response to his presence. Prabhupada defines like this. He says, Prabhupada translates, a person who can perform various types of work, I said that. In this connection, one of the gopis said, so really clearly we find this is the gopis who are speaking. Last one is Radharani and gopis and Radharani. All these last reference for genius, Radharani. Reference for artistic, Radharani. Reference for clever, gopis. So here it says, in this connection, one of the gopis said, "Oh, Sakis, just see the clever activities of Sri Krishna. Krishna has composed nice songs about the coward boys and is pleasing the cows. By the movement of Krishna's eyes, he is pleasing the gopis. At the same time, he's fighting with demons like Arishtasura. In this way, he's sitting with different living entities in different ways. And In this way, Krishna is sitting with different living entities in different ways. And he is thoroughly enjoying the situation." Interesting phrase. Krishna is thoroughly enjoying the situation. Try to see the scene going on here. They're recapping the actual moment. That moment, that special moment when Arishtasura was poised for attack. There he is, pawing the ground and snorting and scraping the earth with his razor-sharp hooves and just terrorizing everyone and causing miscarriages and all the cows and the ladies. And many people have assembled on this Leela. Krishna is there, of course, and Arishtasura. But then gopas are there. His friends are there. The sakas are there. The cows are there. The gopis are there. Somewhere hiding somewhere, but they're there. Everyone's fearful but watching. And then he's communicating and interacting cleverly with everyone at the same time. Krishna puts his arm around the shoulder of a friend. He faces off the demon. And demon is making all these threatening sounds and horrible, menacing sounds, vicious, monstrous sounds. And Krishna puts his arm around his friend. And Subal yawns and twirls his lotus flower. So just see how clever. He's singing, he's composing nice songs about the coward boys. So he's on one hand, he's going like this, he's petting a cow, and then he's pleasing the cow by petting it, and he's singing some songs. On the spot, Krishna composes a song about this big black bull. And then he Then he moves his eyebrows. Then the gopis are, he sees the gopis somewhere hiding. And he gives a Krishna Kripa Kataksha. He gives a sidelong glance to them. Don't worry, it's okay. Don't be so nervous. So he keeps them with his eyes. He keeps them peaceful. With his song, with petting, he keeps the cows peaceful. With his songs, he pleases the coward boys, and he has his arm on his friend. And at the same time, showing his nonchalant nature and his unconcerned, unfazed nature, not the least bit fearful, he's creating a terrible, terribly fearful situation in the heart of this demon, Aristasura. So terribly fearful that just seeing Krishna so relaxed and so much enjoying his devotees and hardly paying any attention to this massive monster named Aristasura, then Aristasura became so frightened by that really innocent and unassuming form of Krishna that was absorbed in his loving exchange with his devotees. He became so frightened. Ha, ha, bop, bop, bop. He just passed stool and urine all over the place. It's in the Bhagavatam. And then the Prabhupada says, this is the indication, clear indication of impending death. When someone passes stool and urine, it means you're finished very soon. It's interesting because when a baby is born, you come out with stool. When a mother gives birth, she because all the pressure, everything, that she passes a baby and she passes stool in the same bed. If anyone's been a father or a brother and seen this whole thing, that's so the Bhagavatam says you're born in a pile of stool and urine. It's a fact. And then so you start your career in a pile of stool. Then usually the time of death, the pain of death, like birth, is so great. Yamadutta's taking you for a little ride and things. That you pass stool also at the time of death. When the soul leaves the body, it passes stool. When it leaves this world, when the soul in the body enters this world, it comes out. And then what does it do between birth and death? And everything one knows about that. So there's not much serious activity going on here in this material world unless one takes the path of self-realization and turns the caterpillar into the butterfly. So this is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Tomorrow, by the grace of Srila Rupa Goswami Pad, we hope to speak something on the 16th quality of Krishna's expertise.